Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. Keep living the life you love.
Good morning. It's lovely to hear your voice this morning.
Fantastic to be here, Marty. No problem at all. Nice to be talking to RTE.
Absolutely. Listen, you're in the sunny climes of Australia as we speak.
Yeah, it's a place called the Southern Highlands, kind of in between Canberra and Sydney, like halfway in between. And we're kind of up high here.
Nice.
We have this extraordinary thing of having fir trees and parrots.
Oh, wow.
If you can believe that.
Captain Ahab. That's incredible. Listen, before we go any further, the first thing I have two things to say to you, because I know you're coming here for the National Opera House of Wexford. You're playing the Bord Gáis, Cork Opera House, Ulster Hall in Belfast. Before we go anywhere, let me just say belated happy birthday.
Oh, thank you very much. 77, 2 weeks ago.
Good man. And you've been through the mill over the years at various bits and bobs. And you've been very vocal about it too.
Well, I'm the same star sign apparently as Prince Charles or King Charles.
Yes, King Charles.
So I don't know if that means anything, but I feel like royalty at this age.
Well, you're musical royalty at the very least.
Yeah.
True. Well, happy birthday. And the other thing I want to say is I was terribly sorry. I realised that you lost a pal recently. And this is the drummer Frank Gibson Jr., who was a great mate of
yours. Yeah, he was with us for quite a few years in England. I mean, look, it's really extraordinary. I've been writing my book, and it will be out soon.
Good man.
But every now and then I have to go back to the start of the book and change the foreword, because I like to note down all the people that we've lost on the way that I remember very strongly.
Sure.
And, you know, I keep adding names these days. Is that proof of how old we're getting?
Well, no. Well, we all lose people as we go along. I suppose it's like anything. He was a big deal in your life, and he was a friend as well as everything else. And the loss is palpable. A loss like that, if you live, as the fellow said, if you live long enough, you're bound to lose
lots
of people.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, here's the weird thing. I mean, I've outlived my father. How about that? That's a strange thing sometimes to think about.
Yeah.
My dad died at 74, and I'm here at 77.
Sure.
So, look, I've outlived him, and I've certainly outlived my mum.
Yes.
She died at about 68, 69 years old.
Yeah.
So that's an extraordinary thing in itself. I mean, look, I'm feeling fantastically fit, healthy, still got my hair, still got my voice. I'm still feeling like I've still got all the attributes I need to do my job.
But isn't that what it is? Yeah, but
that's unusual in a way.
Yeah, but you're also a live wire. I mean, the great thing is, you know, cancer, not to get depressing, but cancer, you know, runs in the family, and you've been able to fight the fight and be as active as you are. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've had a little heart trouble.
Yeah.
I've got a partial kneecap replacement. I've got an irritable bowel that sometimes plays up. But generally, you know, I mean, look, we're in a great age anyway, medically, where yes. we can look after ourselves, you know, sure. very well now. Alternative medicine and all that as yeah. well. And plus, I've got a wonderful wife in Donatella who keeps me really fit and well. And well looked after, it's great food, and, yeah. you know, we have a good lifestyle.
And it's very important to have somebody like that to look after you, to keep an eye on you, particularly
definitely,
if you go off...
Definitely,
If you go off the plan and suddenly she says, hang on a second, Leo, come here. And you need that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You she know. Puts me straight back on the path.
For sure. Now, the other thing...
You know, I'm really enjoying still making music. Yeah. Now, that is still fresh in me. I still love music as much as I ever did. And I'm still feeling inspired, and there's still... artists and young people that inspire you. I mean, I'm having the joy at the minute of working with, you know, there's a guy down here who won, you know, you've heard of the Pop Idol show.
Yes, of course.
He won the Australian version of that.
Yeah.
And now he wants to work with me. And, the kid's 21. So it's very exciting, you know, to be able to pass on all this knowledge and work with young people.
And what sort of music is he going to be doing? That will involve you?
Well, he's a pianist and singer.
Good.
His parents were musicians, which is great.
Yes.
So it's not just, you know, the wannabe kind of guys that we know went on to, you know, The Voice and The Idol and all of those, you know,
yeah,
X Factor and all those shows.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of coming into an age, really, where musicians suddenly are, you know, young musicians are like royalty. They're actually supported really well. So, look, this boy is very talented. He's a great pianist. So, look, I'm going to produce him later this year.
Oh, good for you.
And I think we're going to find him some really good original songs.
Right.
Which I've already sent him some, and he loves them.
Good man.
So, and we'll probably write together as well. So, look, it's just a great thing to be... have been in this business for 5 decades and still people think we've got something to offer.
Yeah, but you do. Like, you look back on this, on the hits that you had. Okay, one of my great favourites remains More Than I Can Say. Not your song, but a huge hit, okay? But then we look at something that you wrote with Alan Turney, which is Orchard Road. Think about things, you know what I mean? So, and you had people write for you. I'm thinking...
Albert Hammond, yeah.
Albert Hammond.
When I Need You.
When I Need You, but Carol Bearsager. So you think about... So the interplay is fantastic, and to be able to have that. You still have the energy, obviously, to want to create. That's the important thing, because you can come and play the hits, but you want to create as well.
No, these days in the studio, in the last 3 or 4 albums, I've really been working very much like a hermit by myself.
Right.
And I enjoy that.
Yeah.
But I love when I go and work with musicians, like I've got the great band in England who are coming over to Ireland with me.
Yes.
And you'll see them, you know, sing with me. We just love getting into a room and suddenly the interplay goes on and look, there's no Leo and no band. We're all the same group of people. And if someone comes up with a really good idea, you know, let's try this.
Yes.
Bang, we try it, you know. And that interplay is great.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I've kind of also, as a dichotomy to that, you know, I've really enjoyed kind of just digging in and working with myself here and making records that are really solo records, you know. I mean, I made a record called Selfie just not that long ago.
Yeah.
And it's called that because I played everything myself. But it still sounded like a big record because you're manipulating computers and samples and things like that, you know. But it's exciting to have different ways to make music.
And do you
that's play, what I mean, this I mean, modern age has given us.
How many instruments do you play?
I manipulate it all with
a
computer.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's samples. Years and years of recording guitarists and producing them.
Right.
I've got all these tapes of them, and they know I'm using them.
Yeah.
and I'll cut up little bits and pieces and fly those in, you know. So
right.
I've become a little bit of a magpie. Of a sort of collage artist, as it were.
As a friend of mine would say, you know? AI has nothing on you.
No, it's great. It's really good fun.
Yeah.
Because, you know... I always reckon that, you know, I mean, Picasso didn't get someone to do the blues and,
know.
You know, and Vincent van Gogh didn't get someone to do the reds or the yellows. They did it all themselves. And I think a true artist has to be able to do those things.
Good for you.
Look at Stevie Wonder, you know, and
yes.
look at his abilities. And who knew that Bob Dylan was such a good pianist as we see him now on stage?
That's true. That's true.
Good musicians or good artists can do a lot of things.
That's right. You've got a cute way of talking. You got the better of me. Just snap your fingers and I'm walking. listen to me. Are you going to be still dancing when you come on stage, when you bounce onto the National Opera House with the Bord Gáis? Are you going to be dancing away there? Because you were always a very busy fellow on stage.
My legs. They'll probably respond better than they answer me.
Right, yes.
No, I do. I'm still able to be, able to move around.
That's the boy.
I'm never going to be as good a dancer as I was in my 20s.
Oh.
I feel like dancing, so...
So everybody else will. Everybody else will. It was funny. When I knew we were having the chat, I was reminiscing. I still have the photograph. I'll share it with you in time. Of you and I sitting on a country wall down in Cork.
Yeah.
And you played...
I kind of remember that.
We did a TV show. That's
was
right.
That down in Cork?
Down in Cork. You were playing open air in a place called Parky Queen.
We were playing the Shamsakushli.
Now you have it. Shamsakushli. Well remembered. Look at you and your Irish.
And yes. I remember Bye Bye Miss American Pie. Don McLean was on the show as well.
Correct.
I remember that very clearly.
But you were the man, and we interviewed you for the TV. It was one of the first TV interviews we had done. And I also remember, in the early stages of a radio station I used to be with, we toured Ireland with you.
That's right.
At various venues with a great friend of mine called Larry Gogan, and we. So the point is, you have this great relationship with this country, and you've always come back and toured.
It's always been very special. I mean, look, my only when I played Shamsakushli, I actually asked the organisers, "Can I come back next year?" And they said, "No, they only want you to be there one time." But that was a fantastic festival. I remember
it was,
and it came out. I don't know if it was an official video, but it's available on video.
Your concert?
Including our chat, which was filmed.
Really?
Yeah, so look it up, Marty. You'll find it.
That's hilarious.
Somewhere there on YouTube as well.
I don't know. I didn't get a pound.
These days,
did you?
You can get everything.
You can. Did you get any money? I got nothing. no money crossed my palm.
I do remember you. I remember your spirit and I remember your energy as well.
Thank you.
We were having fun, weren't we?
We were for sure. It hasn't abated.
Our feet in the bog.
There you have it.
And our bums on the stone wall.
That's right. Show business, eh?
Yeah. This is the top.
Now, listen, I have to say to you, of all the songs, my current wife is a huge fan. And has always said to me, whenever I'd be saying, I'm going to play a little bit of Leo Sayre on the radio, she'd say, "Will you just play Orchard Road for me? Because isn't it amazing how it's such an incredibly good song, isn't it, still?"
Yeah, well, I was blessed with writing with Alan.
Alan Turner,
was so creative, and we got on so incredibly. We used to give each other hand signals in the studio as whether to go up in key or down in key. We used to do songs, and More Than I Can Say was a simple one, okay?
Yeah.
And that was me and him. But a lot of them, we went into quite complex areas where, as I say, with these hand signals, we could change key, we could, fluctuate tempos, we could do anything together. We developed a language between us, which was pretty unique. I mean, we're still in touch today. And believe me, there are still some tracks that we recorded at the time that haven't come out yet. And I think they sound really strong, and I'm going to make sure they do come out.
Good for you.
Very soon.
Well, of course, and his reputation, of course, he's written a lot of songs for Cliff Richard over the years as well.
Yep, absolutely. And the famous Aha track as well. That's Alan producing that. And Life in a Northern Town.
Oh, yes.
They're all
Dream
Alan
Academy.
Tony productions.
Yeah.
But, and of course we wrote Dreaming together for Cliff, yes.
Exactly,
yes.
Which was a great song. So,
the history Orchard Road is interesting because basically it was about a glitch in my marriage. a classic seven-year itch.
Yeah.
And I had an affair with a young girl, and, literally I was going to break up my marriage, but I managed to kind of, at the right moment, realize that I was making a fool of myself. I took the girl back home, and I went back to my wife, who I'd got another apartment for, my first wife, not my current wife, Janice, and basically pleaded to come back. And that is the song. It's me in the telephone box, asking if she'll have me back. Yeah. So it was a real thing, a very emotional thing that just poured out of me. There was no lyric written down either. It just came out on the microphone. And honestly, we did one take, and that was it.
You did one take?
One take, yeah. There's no words written down. Made it up as we went along. with me and Alan just giving each other hand signals.
It has touched a chord.
And when we finished it, the manager, Adam Faith, came round to see us.
Yes.
We played it back to him and he just fell off his chair and he said, "You have to release it exactly like that."
Yeah.
And we said, "Oh, no, it's just a demo. It's just something we were trying." He said, "No, that is probably the best thing you've ever written." and he was right.
But the music
has stood the test
of time.
Yeah,
but it starts, it's plaintive the way it starts, and it just kind of sucks you in.
I think every artist, you know, that sounds egotistical.
No.
But artists have one song that they almost don't know how they wrote, but they got there, you know.
Yes, I mean,
Bob Dylan, it could be, Masters of War.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and he doesn't know how he, you know, he's written about that and he says, "Oh, God, I don't know how I came up with all
that."
That's
true, yeah.
You know, but, and the songs of that time. I mean, Mark Knopfler will talk about Romeo and Juliet, you know, where that came from. And mm-hmm. God knows, they come from areas that you can't predict, you
yes,
know.
Yes, yeah, it's so true.
Sting with Every Breath You Take. Bono with One, you know, I mean, yeah. Incredible songs that you can't really sort of say they come from anywhere else but the gods.
Well, I remember
they don't come from inside.
Well, no, it's interesting because I remember talking to the great Van Morrison about this, and he says,
"Oh, yeah,
that
man,
it just comes through him."
Typical example.
He always, says it comes through him.
He cannot explain Astral Weeks to anyone.
That's right.
And yet, it's probably lyrically the greatest album ever written.
Yeah, it's incredible. It comes through people, and therefore, you share that art with people. It's fantastic.
Listen, and I think, you know, life comes through you as well in those things. I mean, you know, he would have known Madame George. He would have walked on those streets, you know, down on Cypress Avenue. He would have been there in all of those places. So they kind of invaded his brain and forced themselves out of him. Just like Shore and By Sea, Moonlighting, One Man Band, all those songs kind of forced themselves out of me. So you sing about your life, your experiences. You know, it's a very direct thing.
Speaking of Shore and By Sea, do you get back at all?
I don't really. My brother lives there now. It's just the practicality of when I come over on tour, every single day gets accounted for.
Yes.
And if I'm not, I do get a chance. I mean, I go down and see my sister. She lives on the South Coast. I haven't been to Shoreham for a little while, and I really do want to go. But I'm not going to have a chance this time because, as I say, every day is accounted for. And economically, you know, you've got a band on the road, so you can't really take too many breaks.
But I
will find time. As time goes on, I'm determined. I mean, I've just spent a few months off here in Australia, and it's been a lovely thing to do because I've had a chance to look back in the archives, pull out songs that I really want to work on in future, look at various projects, like there's a musical, I think, of my songs coming soon. So there's lots of projects in the background, you know, that you suddenly have the time to work on, you know. So it's been quite nice not to travel as well for a while. It's been great, you know, to just sit at home and absorb all the material you've got around you rather than be rushing around all over the place. So that's good.
Except now you have the tour ahead of you and playing four nights in Ireland, the National Opera House in Wexford, Borgosh Energy Theatre in Dublin. And I was talking to the manager there only 2 days ago, and he told me to tell you that the tickets are flying out the door. Cork Opera House and Ulster Hall, Belfast.
Now, they're nice people down at Borgosh. They know what they're doing, and it's very lovely. But look, I love Wexford and I love Cork Opera House. I'm looking at a poster now across the other... I'm in my studio, and I'm looking across the wall, and there is a poster here. Cork Opera House, Monday the 20th of Feb, 1989. The Irish Tour, Leo Sayer.
Good Lord.
And I remember that gig very well.
Do you? You seem to have a great memory for the pre-wear stuff.
I've been blessed with that.
Yeah.
You know, I've got two wonderful gifts, I think, from God. I've got perfect pitch, and I've got a great musical memory with that. And I've got a good memory of facts and places and people and you know, things in life.
That's lovely.
Which is kind of weird for five decades of work, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I still have a memory. I still have marks on my bottom from sitting on that wall with you back in the day down in Cork.
Yeah. Well, we were all running around on that tour, and I think we were having fun. Probably was. It might have been Jim Aitken putting all that together in those days. I'm not quite sure.
Jim Aitken. Richard or Oliver or Oliver Barry. It was either or.
Oh, it was Oliver Barry. That's right.
I think it was.
I don't
Oliver
know what
Barry.
Ever happened to him.
He's still with us, thank God. He's still with us.
Is
thank
he?
God.
Oh,
yeah,
well,
he is.
Please say hello.
Yeah, Jim
and then
is
after
gone.
That, it was Tommy Swarbrick.
Yes.
And who did I did a lot of stuff
good
with in
Lord,
Ireland.
That's right.
Tommy took me some amazing places like Mullingar, where he comes
that's
from.
Right.
All these incredible places in the middle of
Ireland.
In the middle of
Ireland.
Of Ireland.
Yes.
And Sloane and places like that.
That's right. That's right. But anyway, look, I'm dying to see you. Please, God, we'll get to the board, gosh, when you're here. And Leo, yes. It is always, always a pleasure. We have to leave, but the show
you,
must
Marty.
Go on. The show must go on, because what else could I finish with?
Oh, it certainly will.
It certainly will.
Thank you for reminding me about Shamsa Kushli, because I do remember that well, and our conversations were great. And hats off to you for hanging in there as much as I have in
business. Leo, sir, God bless you, and we'll see you soon. Take care.
Such a sad affair, standing here.